Good morning. This morning I want to talk about forms. And in particular I want to talk about gassho and the meaning of gassho. Gassho is this. And everything that I'm saying about gassho can also be applied to any of the rituals or the forms that we do, and also really to any other activity that you're engaged in your life. Dogen, he wrote a lot about forms. So the word forms encompasses a whole host of activities. It's a kind of body yoga, and we use these in Soto Zen. By the way, these kinds of ritual, if you will, or specific ways of holding your body, I like to think of it as a kind of body yoga. They're pretty universal in monastic traditions of any religious school or sect. So that's kind of interesting. I think of them as being hundreds of thousands of years old, and they are a way of training our minds and bodies that have stood the test of time for human beings. So anyway, Dogen wrote a lot about this. But you know, we don't usually read his essays on form. For example, he wrote about how to conduct yourself when you enter the bathroom, while you're in the bathroom, when you exit the toilet. He wrote about eating with Orioki. He wrote about cooking food. How to conduct yourself in the study hall. He wrote about how to enter the zendo, which foot to use, entering over the threshold of the zendo. He taught us how to conduct ourselves with our teachers, and a whole lot more. And the way he talked about these activities is he said, these are the dignified acts of the Buddhas. This is the dignified behavior of a Buddha. And he wrote about this in the Shobogenzo in a fascicle of the same title. And this is what he wrote. He said, I mean, he wrote a lot, but one of the quotes from this essay, which in English is, 15 pages long, that which imparts and possesses single fragments of the dignified behavior of Buddhas is the whole of the cosmos and the earth, the whole of living and dying and going and coming. So again, he said, that which imparts and possesses single fragments of the dignified behavior of Buddha is the whole of the cosmos and the earth, and the whole of living and dying and going and coming. So what are these single fragments? I would say they are the individual activities that we engage in, the actions that we take, the words that we speak, the ways that we conduct ourselves. And this is the way and spirit with which we make gassho. Now, I can't remember whether I mentioned that I want to talk about gassho as an example of this. So this single fragment that he's talking about is how we gassho. It's washing dishes. It's brushing our teeth. It's greeting our neighbors. It's everything that we do and say. This is all the individual actions of our lives. And these single acts, he says, are the whole of the cosmos and the earth, the whole of living and dying, and going and coming. And when you think about it, isn't our life made up of these actions, one after another? And yet simultaneously, as we engage in these actions, interactions, relationships with things, with people, with situations, it is what makes our world, and it is what ultimately makes all of the world, as the world is making itself with each thing engaging in these and imparting and possessing these single fragments, making up the whole of this cosmos and earth. It is the whole of our living and dying, the whole of our coming and going, and it is true for everything else. So you can see that the how of how we do things, how we deport ourselves, how we respond along and in relationship with other beings, activity, that becomes the whole world. It becomes the whole world of both our own lives and the lives of others. Now, later in the same text, he wrote, when we realize the effort, which is the energy of this real state of making things progress and throwing ourselves into the moment, then dignity covers the myriad dharmas. There is brightness in the monk's hall, the Buddha hall, the kitchen, and three gates. And I'll read this again. When we realize the effort, which is the energy of this real state of making things progress and throwing ourselves into the moment, then dignity covers the myriad dharmas. The dignity, the dignified behavior of the Buddhas. He says, then dignity covers the myriad dharmas. There is brightness in this dignity. And it is in the monk's hall, the Buddha hall, the kitchen, and the three gates. So when he says it is in the monk's hall, the Buddha hall, the kitchen, and the three gates, this is every place that we are, that you are, that everything resides in, both individually and collectively, every situation, every encounter is an opportunity for us to express the dignified behavior of a Buddha. This is the energy and the real state of making things progress. This is the response of realization. And when he says, there is brightness, Dogen wrote a whole fascicle about brightness, Komyo. And in Uji, he says, every moment of your day is brightness. Every moment of our day is this bright light of Buddha, because we are Buddha nature. All things are Buddha nature. And this is this brightness of life. Life manifesting, interacting, progressing. So how do we talk about this dignified behavior of a Buddha? It is the time and the times that we respond to our life skillfully, that we respond with equanimity and with wisdom. This wisdom is grounded in letting ourselves meet our life as we meet it. So it is as Dogen says in Genjo Koan, to carry the self forward is delusion, to allow myriad things to come forth and meet you is realization. To be enlightened by things is realization. So it is a way of letting things unfold and deeply listening before we respond. It is our life as it is right now. No, it's not somewhere else. We are not deficient in some way. We don't have to run around looking for something somewhere else. Just settle in to our life as it is right now, with all of our problems, all of our mistakes, all of our delusion. Can we just sit down and listen? So it is our life as it is right now, right in front of us. And since our lives are complicated, as are our feelings and our karmic attachments. I have to say, this can be quite difficult to do. Okay, this is hard. It's a hard practice to do, to ask ourselves to do this. And so if we agree upon some kind of form or discipline that can help us attain this state of mind, that's what this is all about. That's what learning the form of Gassho is. Learning the forms of service, sitting zazen. It helps us ground ourselves in our lives to cut through the static. So let's look at the dignified behavior of Gassho and talk about our practice as Gassho. Now, say as I look at my watch that I don't think I'm going to finish my commentary on this whole section. So I'll just talk about it again next time I give a lecture. All right, so Dogen Zenji said in an essay he calls The Dharma for Taking Food, which is in the Eihei Shingi, the rules for practice at Eihei-ji. And in Japanese, it's called Fushuku Hanpo. Fushuku Hanpo. I think someone's not muted, so if you could check yourself, that would be good. So here's what Dogen had to say about how to do Gassho. He said, put your hands... Now, because of the camera, I have to look at myself to get my nose squared up at the top of my fingers. He said, put your hands perfectly together, palm against palm. There should be no space between the fingers. And they should be fully extended. The tips of your fingers should align with the bottom of your nose. See if I can get this lined up. There it is. The bottom of your nose. Make about one fist space between your nose and thumb. So if you put a fist up like this against your nose, that's where your Gassho would be. And then he said, this is the rule. And then when you move your head, the tip of your fingers should also be in direct alignment with your motions of your head. You must bend the upper body from the lower back. As your head goes lower, your Gassho mudra goes lower. In other words, whenever you move like this, your hands always stay in the same place. Same relationship to your face. They don't go like this. Everything goes together as one motion. So that's what Dogen said about how to do Gassho. So let's take a look at this. So as all of you know, who've been coming to service and practicing for a while, this body-mind posture is very important in our school. We do Gassho a lot. We do Gassho really a lot. And almost all of our activities begin and end with Gassho, with a few Gassho in the middle. So Gassho is an expression of gratitude, of respect. It's greeting. Gassho is gassho-ing to your cushion before you sit down, saying, thank you very much for being here. This isn't just about me plopping down on my cushion. Gassho is turning around clockwise and gassho-ing into the room, to acknowledge all beings sitting with you. Now, sometimes when you read about the meaning of Gassho, the author will say, Gassho are two things as one. They say, for example, one hand is form, the other hand is emptiness. You put them together, and you have things just as they are. That would be an example. I think Dogen is saying something much deeper than that. He's saying that Gassho is the action of Buddha. Gassho is the action of you, the dignified behavior of you as Buddha. And if you engage Gassho with your whole body and mind of practice, if you make your best effort in Gassho, this is the dignified activity of a Buddha. You don't need to worry about duality or non-duality. So Gassho is not a symbol for something else. It is the thing itself expressed through your own body and mind. You are Gassho. Gassho is you. As Dogen might say, Gassho, Gassho-ing, Gassho. In a monastic environment, or a retreat, participants Gassho to each other when they pass each other. They do this rather than speaking. So Gassho becomes the acknowledgement of a Buddha greeting and encountering another Buddha. It reminds me again of the Genjo Koan. When Buddhas go on actualizing Buddhas, they do not even know that they are Buddhas. When you pass each other in Gassho, you are Buddhas acknowledging Buddhas who do not even know that you are Buddhas. You are just wholeheartedly making Gassho. So this is the dignified behavior of a Buddha. It's your dignified behavior. It is Buddhas with Buddhas. So how does our practice cultivate or engender this behavior as we follow Dogen's instructions on how to do Gassho? So remember, he started out, put your hands perfectly together, palm against palm. Can you put your hands together perfectly? Exactly what does that mean? If you try too hard to be perfect, you become rigid, and you end up only expressing your confusion. You express your desire to be perfect, or some idea of perfection. And when we do this, we become tense and self-conscious. On the other hand, if we're lax about it, if there's no energy or communication between our palms, then this also denotes delusion. And then again, on the other hand, you may just not be very attuned to how your body moves. So Gassho becomes a way for us to work with incorporating the whole of our body-mind complex, not just our intellect. Because don't forget, which we often do, our bodies and our minds are not separate. They're the same thing. So I'd like to talk about a koan here, attributed to a 9th century Chinese Zen master. And his Japanese name was Seigen Isshin. Seigen Isshin. And many of you, I'm sure, have heard this. He wrote, "Before a person studies Zen, mountains are mountains and rivers are rivers. After studying a while, mountains are not mountains and rivers are no longer rivers. But when the student becomes mature, mountains are once again mountains and rivers are once again rivers." Okay, when you first start out, mountains are mountains and rivers are rivers. You think you know what mountains are and you think you know what rivers are. They're just rivers and mountains. After studying for a while, ooh, mountains become mountains. Mountains are walking. Rivers become rivers. Rivers are talking and preaching the Dharma. But when then you become mature, mountains become mountains again and rivers become rivers. So when we begin practice, Gassho can be pretty lax or awkward. And we have no sense of where our hands are in relationship to our face. Or maybe we just don't notice how others are doing Gassho. We just don't notice what's going on around us. Or maybe we're embarrassed because it's new. But basically, this whole thing brings up a lot of feelings and perhaps some resistance. And then later on, after we've been practicing for a while, we might become very self-conscious in our effort to do it right, to do it right, to be perfect. And we might become critical towards ourselves. Oh, I made this mistake. I didn't do it this way. I forgot to pay attention. And we might become critical towards ourselves. On the other hand, the forms might become really, really, really special. And we're very, very, very holy when we do these forms. And then our participation, the way we express ourselves, becomes very studied, very special, very thoughtful, very serious. And later, when we've dropped all of this, the forms are our everyday experience, and we have completely absorbed Gassho. Then it becomes a truly unconscious reflection of our devotion to practice. It becomes an automatic, unselfconscious response. Gassho and practitioner becomes one. And then we can allow Gassho to Gassho itself. And yet, at the same time this is happening, there's still something about our Gassho that is unique, while at the same time being in accord with others. I think it's Nzui Monkey that Dogen talks about how it is important in these situations that we are all doing the same thing, so that we are all Gassho-ing at the appropriate time, that we are all bowing together, that we are all standing in shashu, which is left hands, the fist, right hands over the top like this, except it's lower. It's closer to your belly button. Basically, your arms are parallel to the floor. It's kind of a Zen at ease position. And that we do this when it is appropriate. And yet, while we are doing this perfectly, we are still doing this as individuals. So do not be afraid that this regimentation somehow will turn you into an automatron. You will never stop being yourself. You will always be yourself. And yet, simultaneously, you just let Gassho do its thing. You become one. And then it's perfect. I was thinking about the Dalai Lama. You know, he Gassho's with his whole body when we see him. You know how he does that? He peers over the top of his hands and he looks at you. So happy to meet you. Oh, so happy to see you. And we feel so good when we see that. But you know, the thing in Zen is that we're much more reserved in our Gassho. So then I thought about Suzuki Roshi. Now in Suzuki Roshi's case, many of us have heard this story. He used to stand, after he exited the Zendo, teacher always goes out first. He would go around at City Center anyway. He would go around the Zendo and come out and stand where the students were coming out. And he would Gassho. He would look at everybody. And he would Gassho to each one of the students as they came out. And this story was really, it's a powerful story, and it's told often. And clearly everyone felt very seen by Suzuki Roshi, that their practice was deeply acknowledged and appreciated. They felt his generosity and his gratitude for their practice. So Suzuki Roshi's way was quieter than the Dalai Lama's, but both men conveyed the same compassion and joy of practice. This is the dignified behavior of a Buddha. Sojin Roshi also did this. He would go outside the zendo and he would gassho to each student as they came out of the zendo. He stood on the shoulders of his teacher. He stood side by side with his teacher. He carried the heart of his teacher. He was the dignified behavior of a Buddha. And their practice of gassho is completely unselfconscious because their minds are dwelling in their heart. They are attuned to the other person, not to how they are doing. This is the dignified behavior of a Buddha. So, you know, here's the thing. We can't skip any steps of this process of how we gassho. We would like to. We would like to go from the place of being self-conscious and maybe resistant and self-critical to bang over here to the other side. But, you know, we have to go through the whole thing. We have to do each step. So, we can't skip this part. So don't give yourself a hard time about this. Because really, this is what it is to be a human being. We just have to learn. And as Dogen says, you know, we use the ground to get up off the ground. We actually must push ourselves off this ground. And this ground is our life. And this ground is also our practice and our faith and our refuge. So we use this ground, this refuge, to stand up. And that standing up includes the falling down. If we do not fall down, we cannot stand up. And this ground will be there. The ground will be here. There is nothing else but this ground. So, this is how we learn. And how we learn reflects the state of our mind. So at first, we're pretty clueless and unaware. And we don't really notice the mountains and rivers. We don't notice when we're washing cups. We don't really pay attention when we're brushing our teeth. And then we can get very specific and mindful, and we make a lot of effort to do it right. And then somewhere along the road, we forget. We forget ourselves. We become the morning star. We once again see mountains and rivers, but we see them with the eye of Buddha nature. We see them with the eye of the dignified behavior of a Buddha. We see our brothers and sister mountains, rivers, cups, teeth, shoppers, people who annoy us, and our friends. All of us are in this together. So as we go through our different ideas, our relationships and responses to gassho, or any forms or admonitions, we learn about ourselves. And this is how we grow in practice. Thank you very much.